I know it's about time we expect to go home. And I'm not going to hold you here all day. But I want to praise the Lord this morning. So I hope you allow me to do that a little bit. I've been impressed so much with the thought of the need that we as the people of God need to praise the Lord more. We don't praise the Lord enough. We've been too quiet this morning. I'm not chiding you. But let's praise the Lord more. And let's not forget what God's done. It's so easy for us as mortals to allow things to get away from us. It's just too easy. And we find ourselves asking, why doesn't God do this more? Why doesn't God do that more? And if we would just stop and think about what He's been doing and what He has done. And the reason we have to stop and think about it is because we haven't been praising Him for having done it continuously. Something happens, we thank the Lord, and we go on with life. And those things have a tendency to just get on by us. In Hebrews, the second chapter, there's a scripture that I'm not trying to take this out of context or anything, but it brings a thought. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, I know he's talking here about the gospel being preached and the word of God being brought to us, and that we should earnestly heed God's word and not allow any of that to get away from us. The Lord ministers to us in other ways, and the things that he does to us, the testimonies that we hear of God's gracious dealings to people, that word, let's not allow it to slip either and get away from us. We can enter in to the spoil. You know, we go through a battle, and you read about it in the Old Testament, times that the Israelites went through great battles. And there were times when they didn't even have to fight. They didn't even have to do anything. One time they sent the singers out first. Well, can you imagine being at war and being in a battle and the best that can be put up against you are some singers? That was good enough. That was good enough. Why was it good enough? Because it was God, that's why. It wasn't something man thought of. No, man was thinking up, how can I find more men? That's the way man thinks. How can I get a bigger gun? That's the way man thinks. God just sent out the singers. One time he just caused them to start turning on one another and fighting each other. One time he took just 300 men, and all they had to do was break. What they had? They had something over their lamps, a pitcher over their lamps. 300 men against a great force, a great army. And God sent them out and stationed them around this great army. And all they had to do was break that pitcher and shout. And the Lord won the battle, and the Lord has won this battle, and to Him we give praise and honor. I don't have time to tell you everything the Lord's done. I'd like to, because I want to praise the Lord. I don't know how well you could hear what Karen was saying this morning, but as I mentioned to you earlier, God has been with us every step of the way. This is real, saints. Young people, this is real. It's real. You can't deny it. And it's marvelous in our sight. I don't have anything profound to say. The witness is before us. You don't have to say anything. I thought about the man that Jesus healed, and the Pharisees or the Jews gave the family such a hard time because of this miracle that had taken place. And they called the parents in question, and the parents, for fear of being put out of the tabernacle or put out of the synagogue, they said, well, you ask him. It's the son. And so they called the son on the carpet, the one that had been healed. And he said, I don't know how he did it, but I know one thing. I was blind, but now I can see.
Glory to God.
Now I can see. God had done the work. The evidence was there. It was undeniable. It spoke for itself. So God's work speaks for itself. And we appreciate what He's done. Saints, I want you to to know how important God's Word is. And maybe this is a hobby horse with me, but God's Word is true, and it's so important that we have it in our hearts and that we have it in our minds, because God ministers to us through His Word. Over and over through this, it was through His Word that He ministered to us. When we considered the situation that we were in, the seriousness of it, how to deal with it, it was through the Scripture, time after time, the Lord would bring Scripture to our minds. Things to apply to this, in this battle. There's a Scripture in the 28th chapter of Isaiah that came to my mind. And there was just a portion of it that would come to my mind. I looked it up. And it said, He would be our strength to press the battle to the gate. We couldn't do it in our own strength. We were helpless. We were totally helpless. We were over there in a foreign land by ourselves, 2 hours by bicycle and walking to the nearest telephone. But God was right there. He didn't need a telephone. But we needed strength and help from the Lord. And He said He would be the strength. He would be the strength. And He was, and helped us out. When I realized that immediately the seriousness of the situation that we were in, I sent word out the same way we had gone the day before and sent back a good report to the States. The Lord was blessing in the work there. He was blessing us in our bodies. We were very pleased and happy with... Well, I guess the devil wasn't very happy. That very night is when all this began. So I sent word out again the next morning, and it seemed like that the devil even frustrated the message that I sent out. I wrote the message out on a piece of paper. I had the man read it back to me, word for word, so that I knew he understood it, and I told him to read it to the one that he called on the telephone. And I gave him 4 different telephone numbers. If you can't get this number, try this number and this number and so forth. And that message did not get to the States at all, like it was sent. I didn't think it could fail. I didn't see how the message could get here wrong, but it did. But in spite of that, God had mercy, and He was still there and still helped us out. I want to leave with the saints here the knowledge that we have not lost our burden for the work. In Africa, I don't understand, and it's not for me to understand how things have worked as they have worked. That's God's business. But there are people there that are dear to our heart, and they're dear to God's heart. And I don't know what God's answer is for them, but I love them. They have worked their way into Karen and I's heart. A lot of what we did this time while we were there was more on a personal level than the last time. We spent a lot of time just in the village with the children, with the men, just on one-on-one personal conversation, getting acquainted and doing things together. And the bond of love that's there is strong. They have a soul just like we have a soul. And their situation and circumstance in life is so far below what you and I have here that I can't tell you and you can comprehend it. I could hardly comprehend it myself being there, their circumstances. There's great poverty that you and I don't know or can imagine hardly. And this year is worse than it was last year. Sickness and death was very evident while we were there. At least 6 people died in the short time that we were there. And there were others that were sick in different places that they wanted us to go. And they were afraid for us to go because of the sickness that was in those places. The average lifespan is 37 years of age. You and I expect twice that. And many of us, if the Lord tarries, will maybe exceed that. This past year, they had excessive rains and they lost their crops. And this is a country where the people simply subsist on what they can raise. 90% of the people live in the rural areas. They have no jobs. They live to raise a crop, and they only live if the crop makes. And last year the crop did not make. That was paramount on the people's minds more than anything else. We're going to be starving before another crop is made. I don't know what the answer is. Last year when Brother Michael and I were there, the maize bins were full of maize, corn, clear to the top. This year there was not an ear of corn in those maize bins. They don't have jobs where they can go and earn money like you and I do and then go purchase it. The neighboring country of Mozambique, from the village where we were at, we could see Mozambique, 4 or 5 miles. They can buy food from Mozambique, but they don't have money to buy food. Their clothes were more ragged this year. Most all the ministers were barefooted. Most all the people. But they have a love for the truth, a love for the gospel. As Karen mentioned, we had a meeting. It was the first weekend of Monarch. And it was kind of special to us in that we knew that in Monarch the saints were gathering together, and they did it the same way. Because of the famine condition that's coming on, in their minds they could not justify spending money for transportation like we did last year and traveling out to these remote congregations and having the services every day. That money spent for hiring a truck or a car could better be spent buying food, because these people are going to be starving. And therefore I had no success in trying to work out something about going to the other villages. Instead of doing that, they said, let's have a meeting and all those that can from those places come here for that meeting. But they said, we can't feed them. So spending the money on food was more justifiable to them than spending it on hiring a vehicle, so that's what we did. We put the money into buying food. And they started planning it like a week in advance. They sent their people out by bicycle, by foot, to go to these areas and let the people know there's going to be a meeting on the 19th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, I believe it was. And they sent their people by bicycle and foot into Mozambique, and they began to bring back grain on the back of bicycles and carrying it in bags to the village. We bought 450 kilograms of maize, shelled maize. That's about 992 pounds of corn, grain. We bought 20 chickens and we bought 4 goats, and that was to feed these people in that meeting. Now bear in mind, everything that's done in this country is done by hand. There's no machines to do anything, not even preparing food, any of that kind of thing. Everything is done manually. The nearest thing they have to a machine is a bicycle. those that have them. And they're continually working on those, swapping parts out on bicycles to make one bicycle go. So think of the time, if you would, for a camp meeting in which all the food has to be prepared and cooked over an open fire. The animal has to be killed the morning that you're going to eat it because there's no refrigeration. All that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of work. The saints from Mozambique, bless their hearts, there's a lot more there than there was in Malawi, congregation-wise represented. And as she said, some of them walked for 2 days so they could come and be in that meeting. They slept out in the bush at night on their way, and they were very happy people. They were happy to be there. Puts us to shame. It really puts us to shame. They were so hopeful that we would be able to come into Mozambique and minister to them. They anticipated it. I was told later that they had cut roads into their village so that we could come. And they cried when they learned that we couldn't come. How hungry are we for the gospel? And what are we doing to reach out and take it to the world where it's wanted? We had our meeting. And on Saturday, we had a service. They built a brush arbor on the side of the chapel. Some of the brethren came there locally and built this brush arbor. They also built some little huts for people to sleep in when they came. In the afternoon, they had a baptismal service. They already had this planned. It was precious. It was unlike anything I've ever experienced. The Lord was there just like He's in our services. You could feel it. We met there under the brush arbor, and song was started after some talk, exhortation. Song was started and the saints began to march out single file. Form a line and start down the trail through the bush. I'm sorry, I'm taking so much time. It was a moving thing to me to see them filing single file down through the bush, singing songs, going to the baptismal hole. And Karen and I stepped out of the file and let them pass so I could get some pictures of this. It was a beautiful sight, snaking off down this trail through the bush. Many people singing as they went. We walked a long ways, walked through villages singing, until we finally got to the place where they baptized. Brother Phalos did the baptizing. They baptized 50 people that afternoon, 30 women and 20 men and children. It was a moving experience. Sunday we had a service. And then in the afternoon after service, they began immediately to go home. They had a long ways to go. Some came by bicycle. There were some there that we didn't meet last year from other areas that came down. There are, since we were there last year, at least 11 other villages or congregations that have that are new works that have left other groups to come and be a part of the work there. I questioned them about these groups, these others. I was curious as to why suddenly did they want to be affiliated or be a part, and what were they before? And they told me, certain denomination, and I said something to them about the teaching of that particular denomination. and that they don't teach holiness. And I said, why did they come out of that or come apart from that? And they said, because they don't teach holiness. That's why they left. So there is a work to be done there. They don't have the understanding that we have. But I found that they do have a lot more understanding than we thought they did last year when we were there. Those that have been able to attend school are knowledgeable in the Bible. It's a mandatory subject in the public school in Malawi, Bible is. And so they are taught, and I saw some of their books, and they are taught the Bible from a historical point or from a knowledge part, not doctrinal necessarily. But they, when you say Moses, they know who Moses is. When you say Jeremiah, they know who Jeremiah is. So there's something to work with there in bringing truth. The food, I asked Brother Phalos, I said, well, you know, how can we help? How can help be administered to the people there as far as food and so forth? And he said they would do that through the ministers. It would assess the needs of and the families and so forth, and then try to divide whatever they had equally among the people. So I want the saints to know what the need is there. More than just a spiritual need, there's famine. In some parts of the country, it's already severe. In other parts, it's coming. They haven't even started breaking ground for the new crop. So think about it. It's going to be a while. So we need the Lord to help us to know how to help them in that respect. And we desire the Lord. It's His work. It's God's work. And desire Him to direct in that work that they can be helped, both spiritually and in a temporal manner as the need is. We love the people there. They're God's people. They're just... I can't tell you how they got into our hearts, but they got into our hearts. And some of you that the Lord has blessed to be able to go into areas like that and you've gotten acquainted with people, I think you know what I'm talking about. Let's not allow anything to slip. Let's not feel like that we've suffered some defeat in the work over there. They know God heals. They know that now. They told us very forthright, either you take quinine, God heals you, or you die. It's that plain. And we told them we don't take quinine. We trust God. I told them from the very beginning, I said, we pray. That's what we do in the States. I said, when we're sick, we pray, and God heals us. And I said, we'll pray here, and God will take care of us. And that was our commitment. And God has honored that. And we give Him the praise and all the glory for that. It's His doing. It's His doing. And it's marvelous. And we don't want to lose the experience. We don't want to lose anything that's gained. And if the Lord has blessed you to gain something through this, don't lose it. Build on it. May it build all of our faith to know that God is. And He's still on His throne. And He still loves His people. And He still heals. And He'll continue to heal. And He's worthy to be trusted. We just thank the Lord this morning. Amen.